This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:45, quarter till 9. Saints got a big game coming up against the Commanders and Jaden Daniels. I was there in LSU, matter of fact, on the field when Jaden Daniels threw his last touchdown pass as a Tiger. Saints have had their problems with running quarterbacks. Jeff Nowak joins us now, WWL Saints sideline reporter. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good, Tommy. It's I feel like I brought the cold with me back from New York. Like it was like 70 degrees when I landed, and then you know today it's like 50 again.
So well, I'm glad you did. One thing I did not hear you mention, unless I missed it, was the sideline. And was it cold on the sideline or not? What was it like there at the Meadowlands?
You know, it wasn't that bad. We actually lucked out. It was like in the 30s the day before, like on that Saturday, and then we got out there on Sunday morning, and it was. While the sun was out, it was actually quite pleasant. You know, it was probably in the 40s. The sun at one point kind of dipped behind the edge of the stadium, so you get the shadows. And that's when it started to get a little chilly. But I don't think anyone on the field would say, like, oh, the temperature is really is why that game was so ugly. It definitely wasn't that. It was a little windy, and I think that might have contributed to the to Blake Groupie's miss there from 53 or whatever it was. But no, it wasn't bad. It was kind of just a primer for what's going to happen in 2 weeks up in Green Bay.
Yeah, you know what I want to ask you, and this has nothing to do with the Saints, but just about what's going on in New York with the Giants and the crowd and the fan base, and just from the shots I got, it looked to me, and my perception would be, man, those are people that are not Giants fans per se, season ticket holders. The ticket holders have given their tickets away. These are people that are having a chance to go to a Giants game that would otherwise not go. Was the crowd ever into the game really at all?
I mean, the Giants, just like any other team, they have, you know, a subset of very, very passionate fans. You know, someone bought a banner plane and flew it over not over the stadium, but around the stadium. That basically said, I can't remember the exact word, but said, Mr. Mara, who's the Giants owner, like, fix this dumpster fire. So they're upset. They're upset. And, you know, it's when I saw that, I couldn't help but think, like, so if you're Jeff Ireland, who's now the Saints GM, he probably commiserated with the current state of affairs. Because when he was with the Dolphins, they actually did that to him. They flew a banner complaining about him as the GM. So I'm sure that was a flashback moment for him a little bit. But it's not a happy time out there, but what I'll say for the Giants is they've been dealing with this for a long time. They had that one playoff season in, what was it, 21, where they went and beat the Vikings, and it's funny because that's probably the game that both ended Kirk Cousins, like, you know, their love affair with Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, watching them lose that game to Daniel Jones, and it was probably the game that got Daniel Jones paid with the Giants, and in both cases, it's like, oh, wow, like this is not – and now Daniel Jones is on the Vikings practice squad, interestingly enough. But, you know, it's just a poorly run organization. And, you know, you look at a team in the Saints that their baseline has been 7 wins since 2005. They haven't won fewer than seven games since 2005. Feels like the Giants are winning fewer than 7 games, like 3 out of every 4 years. And then that other 4 years, they're in the playoffs. So it's just a strange.
And that's strange a once scenario. That's a once happy. A once proud team. 4 Super Bowls, you know, and the Maras have owned that team for a long time. Apparently, the latest iteration of the Maras not doing such a good job.
Yeah, John Mara. Yeah, he's been there for quite a long time. Wellington Mara was before him. But yeah, I mean, it's strange because you look at it, how many teams have won 2 Super Bowls since 2007 or whatever it was, right? Like, that's not a lot of teams can say that, and the Giants are one of them. But in in the years they haven't been good, they've been terrible. Like, you're talking top five draft pick terrible. And what they haven't done is be bad enough to get the number one pick or whatever and get themselves a franchise quarterback. The best they got was Daniel Jones at number six. And that obviously didn't work out. So, yeah, it all kind of feeds into, you know, you look at a team that I don't think they're going to fire the head coach and GM, but I think a lot of people would, in Giants country would probably vote for that.
They had him a franchise quarterback, I'll tell you that. All right, we're running a little bit late, 8:49. We come back, we're going to talk about what Riz is saying, head coach Darren Rizzi, about the quarterback situation. As I understand it, I don't think he's conceded the fact that Derek Carr is not going to play, which, look, you don't need to let Washington know at this point who's going to play and who isn't. We'll get your thoughts on that, Jeff. Also on the performance of the offensive line on Sunday, which I expected a lot more. And also about if it is a backup quarterback, are we going to see Jake Haener or the other guy, and I like to refer to him as
Directma.
More when we return, 850, 10 till 9, traffic, WWL. 856, 4 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with our friend Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Jeff, you know, when you look at the division and you look at the season and you look at a couple of games here or there, my goodness gracious, holy moly, huh?
Yeah, it's the same story every year for the Saints, unfortunately.
It really is.
The division is wide open. No one wants it. And the Saints, you know, win a couple. You know, it's funny because if you beat the Panthers, you could say, look at the Panthers game. You say, oh, if you win that game, you're right there. But if you win that game, then, you know, do the last four games go the same? Do you end up making the same decision on Dennis Allen? Mm-hmm. And how does that kind of turn into? So it's tough to say, like, hey, you win that game, it's different. But now, it is frustrating when you see all those winnable games that you didn't take home, and then I think the Bucs are in first at 7-6, then 6-7, then 5-8.
And Philadelphia was winnable. And then you look at where the Eagles are now, and let's talk about the quarterback situation. Is Riz just kind of playing around with Derek Carr? Do you think he actually plays?
I will find out, you know, over the next couple of days whether how serious he is or how serious that situation is. I don't think, you know, they're just necessarily smoke screening, because I think one thing I could say about Derek Carr is he's going to want to play. Mm-hmm. He's not going to say, like, I have a fractured left hand, keep me out. He's going to push to play whether it's in his best interest or not, and that's where the medical staff has to kind of protect him from himself a little bit. And that's a little bit of what's happening earlier in the year with this oblique injury. And so what we'll see, you know, I think the bigger issue is that he's in the concussion protocol right now. And so he has to clear that before they can even get a picture of what he's capable to do with that injured hand. How functional is it? Would he have to be in the shotgun? Would he be able to take a snap under center? Mm-hmm. Would he have to wear a brace? If he went down to the ground and landed on it, would that worsen the situation? So, you know, I think they're seriously considering that in terms of, hey, we could potentially have him out there. But we won't really know until he's able to get on the field and practice.
For people that have never played center or quarterback, and I've said this before, that's an intimate relationship, having played center before. And that ball is going up there with some speed. It's not you got to have a healthy hand to take that snap under center. Let's talk about Kendre Miller. Yeah, so you said he's got some juice. I agree, he does. What is his health situation now after the game? Do we know?
He's healthy. As far as I know, I don't think he got dinged up in that game at all. And so I think this is going to be, you know, the next, it's good to see him get through that game. We've seen him get through games before and then, you know, the injury strike. So I think these next four games are going to be really important for him to just put a good stretch together, right? Prove that you can stay on the field, prove that you can have an impact over a period of time, not just these kind of one-offs, and give this team reason to think, hey, we can go into next year with Kendre and Alvin. I feel like that can be, you know, not dissimilar to that nice 1-2 punch the Lions have with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs.
Real quick, 15 seconds. Can they contain Jaden Daniels?
Probably not, but I'm hopeful that they get better at it.
Yeah, that's going to be tough, I'll tell you that. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate your time as always. Y'all can follow Jeff at Jeff Nowak on Twitter, and you can also listen to the Inside Black and Gold podcast with him and Steve Geller. It's available wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you, Jeff. We'll come back, talk to David Hammer about his special coming up about the church and the pedophiles and all that.